Warwick Hadfield is here. Very good Monday morning to you, Warwick.
Yeah, very good Monday morning to you too,
Hamish. And it's a very good Monday morning for Ash Barty. She's won the WTA Finals tournament in China overnight. Pretty big payday. And she's also the first Australian woman to do so in more than 40 years.
She's done so many things this year. It's her annus mirabilis, no doubt about that. Overnight, she's beaten Elena Svitolina in straight sets. $6 million is the prize money. Handy just before Christmas.
6.4, isn't it? You can't throw away the $400,000, Warwick.
No, and I bet she won't be either. She's got to build that huge cabinet to hold all the trophies back home in Ipswich. Look, Hamish, it's the yarn Australian tennis, particularly with the men's bit bedevilled by all the recidivist ratbags. It's the yarn Australian tennis has just been crying out for. No contretemps, whatever the circumstances. As she did this morning, it was actually, in the wee small hours. She equally praises her opponents and her support team for her wins. And as we've seen, she blames no one else but herself for the increasingly rare they are now losses. And we know, I think most Australians know this story, it wasn't all that long ago, she was ranked in the thousands in the world after her little dabble with cricket. And as you've just said, she'll end 2019 ranked at number one in the world, something not done by any other Australian female tennis player, not Margaret Smith, not even Barty's friend and mentor, even Yvonne Goolagong. If only because the computer rankings didn't really start until 1975, I would have thought that Margaret Smith would have been the top female tennis player in the world in 1970 when she won all four Grand Slams, if they had a computer that worked then. Look, because the elevation to number one has been helped for Barty by a couple of things. Her first Grand Slam on the Tour 2 of Roland Garros, and a growing consistency no matter the venue or the surface. Clay, grass, hard court, they all help that wonderful little sliced backhand. She seems to be able to pull it out whenever she needs it. And of course, Hamish, the annus mirabilis doesn't have to end in Shenzhen. There's still the final of the Federation Cup against France to come in 5 days' time in Perth, where Australia last won this tournament on December the 29th, 1970. And I bet you can guess already who was in the Australian team. Margaret Smith. I think she was Margaret Court by then. Yvonne Goolagong. And here's a name from the past, Leslie Hunt. She teamed up with Margaret Court Smith in the doubles. I wonder who'll be playing with the doubles in the doubles with Ashley Barty. Sam Stosur, Ayla Tomljanovic. It's a great Australian team to pick from. And it's, you know, it's women's tennis now really carrying the banner for the sport of tennis in this country.
Certainly is. Before we move on to the cricket, what sort of expectations are this set up for Ash Barty for next year?
Oh, I don't really. I've just been giving some thought to that. It really does. She'll become a target from all the other leading tennis players like Simona Halep and Pliskova and those people. I don't know. I mean, she's got a lot to live up to. But the thing about her, and we've already just touched on it, the thing is she just treats success and failure much the same. She doesn't smile much until she finally gets her hands on the trophy. I think she's now that sabbatical away from tennis. It's given her the background she needs to be able to deal. She was very, very lonely on the tennis circuit when she first started out. She now talks about her team constantly, and obviously she's put around her the sort of support people, which will help her. I mean, there's always ups and downs, particularly when you're number one, because everyone will be chasing you. So the expectations will be high, particularly with the Australian Open coming in January. But you just get the feeling that Ashley Barty's going to cope with it no matter what, Hamish.
I think she will. In cricket, then, not many people complaining about the rain, but the rain has marred another cricket match in Sydney. In Perth, though, for the women's game, the sun was out and shining.
Yes, Hamish, shining on Elysian Fields, you might say, as Elisa Healy and Elise Perry smashed the ball to all parts in a record, hear this, 199-run opening partnership for the Sydney Sixers against the poor old Melbourne Stars. I think most of the Melbourne Stars had sunburned roofs of their mouths as they watched the ball sailing all over the place. Healy got a ton, while Perry made the dreaded 87. That's, of course, the unlucky number in cricket because it's 13 short of a century. And the Elysian stuff continued for a while when the Stars batted Elise Villani, getting a half century in her side's unsuccessful reply. At the damp SCG, Australia was on the way to victory against Pakistan in the T20 there with Aaron Finch flying before the rain. And in the Sheffield Shield, Tasmania beat Victoria outright yesterday, and there are matches between South Australia and New South Wales and Queensland and Western Australia continuing today, Hamish.
Thank you very much indeed, Warwick. I believe we have Elise Perry on the program later this week.
I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again at 7:30.
Good on you, Hamish.
Warwick Hadfield is here with the sport. Let's start with football. Melbourne City has moved to the top of the A-League ladder after beating Wellington over the weekend.
Yeah, Hamish, City won even without their star striker, Jamie McLaren, who has a crook hammy. And they're now on 10 points, equal with the Western Sydney Wanderers, but ahead of them on goal difference. And three goals certainly did make the difference yesterday. A couple in quick succession in the first half to the wonderkin, Connor Metcalf, and then a screamer from Scott Galloway, giving City the lead. Then a third one in the second half, which the Phoenix reckoned wasn't a goal, but the video-assisted referee said was. And that set up the final 3-2 win. And in the other game yesterday, the Central Coast beat Perth at home, and that was an upset because Glory lose at home as often as the Mariners do on the road, particularly the long road from Gosford to Perth, Hamish.
In basketball, Warwick, the Southside Flyers remain unbeaten in the WNBL.
Nominally, at least they're the new team in the competition. They're the rebadged Dandenong Rangers. They beat Bendigo yesterday 93-80 with Sarah Blitzarves running amok in the final quarter, 16 points. Really, despite only getting their full squad together just before the first game, the Flyers are equal first on the WNBL ladder with the other Melbourne side, the Boomers, both unbeaten, though that should change tonight when the two teams play each other, and that result will be here on this radio station in the morning, Hamish.
I look forward to that. Motor racing, can we do a check-in on Daniel Ricciardo, yeah, who's in the US Formula One Grand Prix right now?
Well, so far he hasn't got DNF next to his name, which is always promising. He started at ninth on the grid and he's worked his way up to fifth spot, slipped back to sixth, but just a few moments ago retained fifth spot. Up front, it's a rocking battle between a couple of thirsty Mercs, Lewis Hamilton, who's just zoomed past his Mercedes teammate, Valtteri Bottas, and looks set to claim this year's Drivers' Championship from here, Hamish.
Warwick, thank you very much indeed.
Good on you, Hamish.